Hello, welcome along to Proper Sport Does WWE Episode 11. I'll be joined by Richard Shorewright very, very shortly. But first, obviously, we've had the privilege and honour of having an interview with a WWE superstar the past few weeks. And now we've been speaking to Becky Lynch. And I've got an interview with her speaking about coming back to the UK this November, speaking about the women's division as a whole at the moment, and all sorts of interesting stuff. So if you're a Becky Lynch fan or a women's division fan or just a general wrestling fan, make sure you stick around. But for now, here's Richard Shorewright and I discussing the week in WWE. Joined alongside me, as always, is the resident wrestling expert. It's Richard Shorewright. Good day to you, Richard.
Good day, Tom. Good day, listener.
How be you?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't sound too good, is
it? No, I'm just trying to remember everything that's happened since we last did this podcast.
That's true. It's your birthday coming up as well, so you need to be excited.
Yeah. My birthday and TLC on the same day, so how exciting could that be?
Does it come any finer?
Sister Abigail versus the Demon. Yay.
You were kind of right with the Bray dressing in drag.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing, but anyway, we'll come on to that, I'm sure. Yeah. We need to talk about Hell in a Cell, first off. Overall, as a show...
It was all right, wasn't it? Yeah, it was good. It was all right.
I thought the tag team match was superb.
Was it one of those shows again where you could watch the first bit and the last bit and miss out the bit in the middle?
Well, the last bit for me, Shane and KO, was a long affair.
It did go on far too long, but that's because Shane McMahon's involved, isn't it? And he gets as much time as he wants to.
It was a three and a half hour show, and that's not including pre-show.
Now it peaked with the tag team match. That is more than
it's the first match. Yeah.
not Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin versus the Hype Bros.
Oh,
the New Day.
How about Bobby Roode doing his WWE pay per view debut? Other than obviously a takeover, it was poor, wasn't it?
I feel
actually kind of like,
I think it's this series of matches. It's just, who really cares about this feud again?
No one. I think if you're bringing Roode in, he needs to be a heel.
Does anyone care about Dolph Ziggler in 2017? I thought he was going to come back as something different, but he's just whining.
To an extent, it gets the point of, you know, he's going to be he's getting heat of the fact that he's annoying to, like, you know, the Chris Jericho sort of way. But it's just also to the point where it's just disappointing more than anything, I think, is the thing. But other than that, obviously Natty retaining against Charlotte. Why do they never have a clean finish between them two?
I have no idea.
I'm pleased. pleased for Natty, though.
Well, it'd be too early to take it off, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Boring Corbin winning the United States title. I saw coming as soon as Ty Dillinger got involved. But
because he's out.
He needs something, does Boring Corbin, because obviously failed with Money in the Bank, so I don't know. And then, obviously, we'll come on to Shane and KO in a second, but Jinder Mahal is still the WWE champion.
It's going to be until after tour of India, isn't it? You would think.
Yeah, but it's still, the prestige of the title is gone.
Yeah.
Well, it's going.
But it had gone when he got the title in the first place.
Yeah.
Because it's just, meh. Gone from jobber to being the world champion. There's no real transition between the two.
No, and it was a bit bizarre then. It's still bizarre now. I think the time's come for Jinder to lose the title to someone, anyone. But we're going to come on to Jinder a bit more in a little bit. Finally, the main event of Hell in a Cell, of course, was KO and Shane. I combined the two there.
Yeah.
It was a bit long.
It just went on too long.
For the moments, there were some great moments.
I don't know why they have a Hell in a Cell match and then have a Hell in a Cell match with Falls
Count anyway. It just spoils it, doesn't it? And you know something's going to happen.
Which is a daft stipulation, isn't it?
Yeah. Obviously, Shane going up twice. I was really actually a little bit scared that the roof might cave in at any point, which made it very exciting to watch. But Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Turning heel.
Well, it makes him different, doesn't it?
Makes him interesting again.
Yeah, which is true, because he'd just been treading water, hadn't he? So,
at
least, you know, and the interviews have been good since, as we'll come to, I'm sure. So yeah, it's been, it was, what's come out of it is good, but there was a lot of, this is the problem with the split brand thing, isn't it? You get a lot of dross in the middle.
Do you think?
Well, yeah, because you could have, you know, as I say, if you haven't watched it, just watch the first match and the last match. You don't really need to watch anything in the middle. Nothing moves on, does it?
No.
And Randy Orton beats Rusev. Meh. Does he need to beat Rusev? No.
No.
Baron Corbin's US champ. No one cares.
No one cares.
Women's match. Yeah, it was all right. Jinder Mahal being through. And Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler again. It's just
fair enough. It's like treading water. I think that's probably a good way of saying
this
it.
Is and the problem, yeah.
This is the thing, though. Obviously, you might be listening to this podcast going, why are you so negative?
Because we are. We're negative people.
We're negative people. And also, WWE is one of the few things where you'd hope that if you complain enough, they might change something. Maybe.
Are you kidding? Hang on, apparently you can watch the whole of season one of Total Bellas on WWE Network. Hang on.
I will be watching that because I did watch season... I've been watching season two on the E! Network. I've got it on series link. I've been enjoying it.
I watched about three episodes of... what's it called?
Total Divas?
Total Divas, yeah, and I just gave up on it after a while.
I'm gonna start watching that as well, give that a chance, but anyway. Elsewhere, on the Raw side of things, of course, been a busy couple of weeks. S.H.I.E.L.D. have been reunited.
Well, this is the whole build-up to TLC, which is this week, and yeah, they are back together, which it's obvious they're going to do it at some point. They've got merch and everything.
Do you not think it's a bit early?
Not really, because they need to do something with Roman Reigns, don't they? But it's not going to work, because everyone's still going to boo him. And Dean Ambrose was kind of not doing anything either.
Well, him and Seth with the tag title. Well, they are.
Oh, yeah.
Tag team champions.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But they're not. He's not really, you know... He's not where he was he?
No, he's nowhere near where he was. None of the three are, in my opinion. I personally think it's a bit early to pull this card. And I think it just proves that Roman is a failure at the moment as the top guy in the company.
Well, is this kind of like a... It would have made more sense when he had the Survivor Series, wouldn't it?
But yes.
I guess maybe this builds up to Survivor Series somehow. Maybe they have two more partners or something.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I'm not sure who.
But it'd be interesting. Yeah. It'd be interesting. It's not going... There's enough talent in that match for it to be good.
Yeah.
At the very least. You know, so...
That's the thing, though, is obviously, so Miz, The Bar, Cesaro rocking his gum shield.
Yeah.
Bless him. But what a trooper to carry on and everything in that match. But carried on, and you've got every top, so-called top star, apart from Brock Lesnar.
Braun Strowman and the Kane.
In this match. And Kane's back. Why?
Mayor. Kane for Mayor. He's back. I don't know. He just is. Maybe this is his last run before he retires. I don't know. Goes off into the Hall of Fame in... WrestleMania season.
Maybe. Oscar's going to be taking on Emma.
Well, that should be a quick match, shouldn't it?
It should be a quick match, but the fact is they've had good matches
yes,
on NXT.
Have. So it's a perfect opponent for her to show off her stuff. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, because Emma knows what to do.
Yeah.
She just has to be almost like a crash test dummy to take all squash match offense. Yeah.
And what else has been going on Raw? Obviously,
as opposed to, you know, if you look at the other women on the roster, they're either in a position where they're supposed to be stars.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the word supposed to be, or they're probably not good enough to work a good showcase, if you will.
Yeah, perhaps. Mickie James is going to be taking on Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for a good match. I don't know if it'll get enough time.
No, and Alexa should win.
Yeah, she should.
No point Mickie winning. Although now we don't know who. There was an obvious path for where Alexa was going, but now there isn't an obvious path.
Creative just sort of deciding to go on a roller coaster loop.
Well, I can see why they held off the match with Nia Jax, but now we might not get to see the match with Nia Jax.
Unbelievable.
Not that anyone necessarily wanted to see that match in the first place, because it would have been terrible.
Would it?
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe the camaraderie between the two of them might have carried it. And then finally, the last thing I want to talk about on the Raw side of things, because it's been finishing Raw for the past few weeks. Like, this is the fourth week in a row. The Cruiserweight division.
Yes.
And Kalisto's the champion. First week in the brand.
Which is great, isn't it?
And Enzo's obviously...
It's not Enzo anymore.
It's not Enzo, but... Yeah. I don't know. It just strikes me as they don't know what they're doing with the Cruiserweights.
I do like how Gentleman Jack Gallagher now wrestles, or Gallagher, whichever, wrestles in his full stuff.
Yeah.
It's like IRS, the return of. It's a bit different, at least.
That's the thing. I think that's why he's a good guy to watch, because he's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are all the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, Raw was Raw, wasn't it? It's on telly for 3 hours. That's a new catchphrase for the podcast.
It was on telly and it happened.
Yeah, it did.
All right, well, we're going to be speaking to SmackDown Live superstar Becky Lynch, very, very shortly as well. I had a chat with her about Dream WrestleMania main events, tag team, women's tag team titles, mm-hmm. things like that. So stick around if you want to hear that interview. But we're going to talk about SmackDown now. Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler is the first thing I want to discuss because, like we mentioned,
Dolph win?
Why is this going on? Because I don't understand.
Why did Dolph win?
No, I don't know. We'll come on to Sammy and everything, but the Usos and the New Day offering a truce, and then the tag team title division, of course, all coming out, and they're wanting to... they're all wanting their own shot, and I like that, and I think the tag team division's starting to get a bit better again.
Yes. I mean, we like it. It's always good. So, good. I don't really sure much more to say about the tag teams. It's good, isn't it, that there are different teams challenging and wanting to challenge all those prestigious tag team titles. The tag team titles are more important than the WWE Championship.
At the moment,
and
yes.
I think every title on there, apart from the US title, is more important than the WWE title on SmackDown. Actually, the women's title's better.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't agree with the United States, because the United States Championship up until... Yes, thank you.
But isn't anymore.
No.
So...
Well, we'll see how Baron gets on with it. Him and Ty have been facing each other, and obviously he faced Sin Cara this week. Who cares about Sin Cara? I'm sorry. The Bludgeon Brothers are going to be joining the tag team division, which is, of course, Eric Harper and... Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. My
and
apologies.
A terrible name there as well.
No, I like it. It's like an 80s sort of thing. More than the Ascension.
Yeah, but the Ascension are rubbish, aren't they?
That's why they got in the Fashion Files.
Yeah.
Which I'm getting bored of.
Well, they do like to spin things out forever, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But when Breezango have been really good with the Fashion Files, they've been really good. And that's about it. Oh, of course, Sammy and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, who are great.
Great segment between them and Daniel Bryan, where basically they were slating him for not wrestling, being able to wrestle anymore, and becoming the Authority.
Yeah.
And when the line of the evening from SmackDown was where Kevin Owens said, "Oh, you just said you like obviously what you want for best for fans. What you mean is best for business. You have become the Authority." And Daniel Bryan walks off. He's like, "I'm going to find two guys to punch you in the face." And they found two of the top guys, Randy and Shinsuke.
And they didn't.
And they didn't win.
No. Well, they punched him in the face, but they didn't.
Oh, yeah. But Sammy with a low blow. I thought it was a brilliant ending. And of course, Shane's going to be back next week. Hooray, no one cares.
I don't see the need for that, especially when he's just, you know, come off a hellacious
beating. Well, he's probably going to come back to do Survivor Series like he did last year for some reason. It was a great match, that SmackDown versus Raw elimination match. I really enjoyed that because it was different. But we'll see. I think it might be Team KO versus Team Shane or something like that.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see. And I think that's about it, really, isn't it, Rich?
Well, do we need to mention anything else on TLC this week? No one cares about the Demon versus Sister Abigail, do they?
This is the thing, though, right?
Because it's rubbish.
It is rubbish.
Because they've already had two matches, neither of which have been great.
No, and, like, Finn Balor this week came out looking like a pumpkin king, and I'm like...
This is Balor Club. I can't do his voice.
No, he just goes, my demon...
Yeah,
nightmares.
But you are Irish, so you're much better than that.
And it's like, what are you on about? And it's so badly scripted.
Yeah.
But
it's all that WWE hocus pocus stuff.
Yeah, and sometimes it's too much.
Yeah,
maybe. Anyway,
and Alicia Fox versus Sasha Banks on the pre-show.
But it's another event. Going to look forward to it. Probably, hopefully, leave some stems towards Survivor Series, which I'm always quite a little bit more excited for, because of I like the elimination style matches.
But again, I think there's only really two matches I want to watch: the main event and the Asuka Emega.
Oh, that was the main thing we needed to talk. Blimey, we nearly forgot about it. So, what do you think about Jinder Mahal? This guy that we're claiming is not good enough and not over. He's asked for Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I don't care.
Well, I mean, I for one think
not interested.
I think give it him, because it'll be the imagine the heat he got if he won, right?
Well,
he
won. Yeah, but it's not good heat, though, is it? It's that kind of, we still don't like you, we still don't think you're any good kind of heat. Not, as they used to call it in the olden days, X-Pac heat. We're booing you because we don't want to see you.
Right.
And that's what it is.
I think that'd be better than what he's got now, which is just sort of, I'm here, I'm trying to be a bad guy, you're just thinking,
but you know the problem is,
you're meeting with me with mediocrity, is what he's saying.
The problem is, eventually, those people who go, boo, I don't want to see you, they don't watch. They turn off.
Well, this is the thing as well.
They go watch the baseball or the basketball.
Exactly. But this is the thing. Viewing figures are down, seating, obviously ticket sales are down.
I don't think it's necessarily his fault, because it's a time of year where there's lots of exciting things in the world of real sport as opposed to pretend sport in America. But he doesn't help.
No. But I think I'm keen to see actually what happens here, because if they manage to go ahead with the match, then I get to see, obviously, Jinder getting crushed by Bork Laser, but we'll wait and see. I'm really hoping that they stem some storylines heading into Survivor Series. Right, before our interview with Becky Lynch, Richard, your match of the week.
Well, I'm going for a rubbish one this week to show you that all gimmick matches are not great, because we've got War Games coming up.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going
to
show Tom Maguire this now. This is 1988. You have to squeeze it forward a bit. Yeah, this is the Bunkhouse Stampede.
American Dream.
A WCW main event, or NWA as it was at the time, which is a battle royal in a cage. I can't flick it on. You have to do it yourself. Where you to win, you have to get people out of the cage.
Right.
By either throwing them through the door or over the top of the cage. Now, if you were in this match, you just wouldn't go anywhere near the walls of the cage, would you? Because you've got a chance of being thrown out. So the idea is rubbish. Bunkhouse Stampede 88, it's on the network, and it's gimmick matches go bad. Well, there's lots of blood in it because it's NWA, isn't it?
It looks quite a long...
Yeah, I actually watched this card. It's a bizarre one. I think on the just skip to the front. Aren't the Sheepherders on this? You remember the Bushwhackers?
Yeah,
I think they're on. Oh, is it Midnight Express versus the Fantastics?
I'm looking, I don't know.
There's something on there that's really good. That might be a Clash of the Champions I'm thinking of. There's something on there that's really good, but this is not really good. But it's well worth watching just for the historical curiosity of it.
That and Dusty, the American Dream, looking good. Wearing a yellow vest and jeans. He's the son of a plumber.
He's the son of a plumber. Mm. The first match on the card is Jimmy Garvin and Sting versus the Sheepherders, which is the Bushwhackers when they were violent. So if you've never seen them before, they licked people's heads. It's worth a watch.
Thanks, Richard. So make sure to check out the match of the week on the WWE Network. Right, time for our interview with Becky Lynch. She's obviously an Irish superstar. She's coming over to the UK for the November European tour with WWE. And I had the chance to sit down and have a chat with her over the phone. And I started by asking her how excited she is coming back to the UK.
Oh, so it's such a pleasure. I think we all look forward to coming out to the UK. We get to do it twice a year, and it's always an exciting venture for us. Because the crowds are so excited to see us, they don't see us all the time. The reaction is great. We love going to different parts of the world. I love being back on home-ish turf, and somewhere that's familiar to me.
Of course, you must be obviously excited to hopefully return to Ireland as well, too.
Yes, that's the first stop on the tour this year. So I'm very excited. I haven't performed there in a year and a half. So it'll be great to see the crowd and see all my people again.
Now, obviously, you're a firm fan favourite. I think it's fair to say that. But in Ireland, the crowd reaction must be absolutely insane for you.
Oh, it was, to be honest with you, I never expected such a reaction, and it was really heartwarming, and it brought a tear to my eye, hearing the reaction and feeling the love for the people, you know, and it's something that's very mutual. It's very mutual for every crowd that I go out in front of, you know, like I love the fans, and I appreciate how much love that they give me in return, but being back in your own home country and feeling that from the people that, you know, you've probably passed in the street and the people that you've grown up with and your family, that's an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, definitely. Moving on to the wrestling side of things, of course, the women's division, of course, on both sides, on Raw and SmackDown, seems to be absolutely on fire now. It's forever improving, forever moving up the card, and I mean, you've been a key integral part of this sort of revolution, as much as we hear about the women's revolution quite a lot. But it's to play a role in that. How important has that been to you?
Play a role? I'm the heart and soul of that. No, it's been great. It's been wonderful. And it's what I wanted to achieve when I came over. When I left there, like, all I said that I wanted to do was I wanted to make sure that the women were given the attention that it was cool, that it was something that people could get emotionally invested in. I wanted to change the term from divas to women. I wanted to get a women's championship belt. I wanted us to be main events in pay-per-views. I wanted us to be main eventing Raws, main eventing matches. I wanted us to be having matches such as cage matches, such as tables matches, such as ladder matches. And we've accomplished all of those things. And I feel like it's been great. And we'll see what is yet to be done. And one of those things is main eventing WrestleMania.
Oh, absolutely. I think the dream scenario, though, would it be a four horsewomen main event, Mania main event?
Absolutely, and I don't see a reason why that wouldn't happen. I don't think we could definitely get the people to care as much as they've cared about any other main event.
Absolutely. I want to talk, obviously, it's been a huge sort of movement for women's wrestling, obviously highlighted by the Mae Young Classic. But out of all those talented women, who's perhaps one of them that you would absolutely love to have a little match with?
I think Piper. I think she's just got something so unique about her. I think the way she moves is incredible. There's such you can sense how genuine she is. You can sense the passion from her, and she's unique, she's different. I don't think we've seen someone like her in the ring, certainly not in a WWE ring in recent years. So I'd love to have a match against her.
And she's from these shores as well, so you could have a sort of Ireland versus Scotland sort of affair as well.
Absolutely. The Celts go to war.
You could maybe even tie it in with the Six Nations or something like that, but anyway, of course.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you as well about how difficult you found the move from NXT to the main card was. I was speaking to Chad Gable the other week, and he was saying he felt actually quite prepared for it. How were you?
To be honest with you, I felt more at home as soon as I landed in Raw than I ever did in NXT. For me, there was just a comfort in a larger crowd. I feel like I was born to perform. I feel like I feel most at home in front of a large group of people. And whenever I got out there, I suddenly felt more comfortable than I ever had in NXT.
Yeah.
And I felt like this is where I'm meant to be. This is the stage that I'm supposed to be performing on. Give me that ball and I will run with it.
Well, which was obviously highlighted by becoming the first ever SmackDown Women's Champion.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And when I was the first woman drafted to SmackDown Live, I just wanted to make sure that people cared about our brand and our women more than the other brands, you know. And I feel like we achieved that for a long time, and it's my goal to bring it back there again and to get my hands on that championship belt again, whether it's from Natalia or whether it's from Charlotte. We'll see what happens at Hell in a Cell this weekend.
Yeah, of course. But regarding Charlotte, obviously she's one half of T-Generation X. I mean, you guys are back to being friends again and sipping on that tea.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a great step forward, especially if we want to talk about women's revolution, would be having women's tag team titles, and I think there'd be no better champion than the two of us.
Yeah, I mean,
Generation X take on everyone.
I think that would be a great sort of next step, and clearly there's, especially if you brought even more women wrestlers from the Mae Young Classic, for instance, the roster could be absolutely stacked, and I don't see why a tag team championship wouldn't be a logical solution.
Absolutely. There's no reason. Win 2017, give us women's tag team title.
I want to also ask you, who do you think, I don't know if you're going to give me an answer, but I've got to try and ask anyway, yeah, who or should anyone end Oscar's streak?
Me.
Of course. I should have seen that answer coming, of course.
course, I see her always trying to attempt the disarmer. She obviously doesn't know how to do it very well because she never seems to get anywhere. Maybe I might get one. I seem to win. So maybe I could teach her a thing or two.
Cracking. And finally, I want to ask you about Ronda Rousey. Obviously, there's plenty of articles that come out weekly or monthly about her possibly having a role in WWE. And I think it'd be quite a cool sort of transition for her. And do you think she could cut it in World Wide Wrestling Entertainment?
I think she could. I think if you've got that dedication that it takes to get where she got you in MMA, then you can transfer that to another line of business. I think that, though, this is a different entity and that there is a lot of work and a lot of dedication that goes into this. You cannot be an overnight pro wrestler. It takes a lot of heart, a lot of dedication. And if she's willing to put that in, well, then fair play to her. But if she just wants a piece of the pie that the real four horsewomen have cooked and baked and served up on a plate, well, then that's a different story.
Becky Lynch on Proper Sport Does WWE. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe, get it downloaded to your phone every week. Get one of them notifications saying, oh, you got a new episode, by subscribing on iTunes or whatever you want to do. But thank you very much for listening. We'll see you again next week where we'll be reviewing WWE TLC. I, for one, think it might be all right. Well, we'll wait and see. And we'll see you soon.